Did you know that a pregnant goldfish is called a twit? We've got all sorts of fun and interesting information and more coming up. We got lots of info. Let's rock and roll. It's Did You Know with Rhino. Hello and welcome to this episode of Did You Know with Ryan O. In case you didn't know, I'm Ryan O. This is my show, and I know exactly what you're thinking, but don't ever call me a goldfish. Yes, folks, here on Did You Know with Ryan O, we talk about pop culture references, science facts, we talk about some historic facts, maybe some interesting vocabulary, and we go over a bunch of random and crazy stories and so much more. Yes, folks, this is a podcast for me, for you, for your friend, for your grandma, for my grandma, everyone's grandma. You know, you love it, I love it, we all love it. But speaking of loving things, let's go into our introductions, because we don't necessarily do this podcast alone. Nope. This episode, we are graced with a new guest. She is a Chicago native, and she has moved all the way down here to Central Florida in order to do all sorts of fun and awesome things. Ladies and gentlemen, the lovely Sam Cernchek. Hello, Sam. Welcome to the podcast. How is it going?
Hey, Ryan. I'm doing pretty well. Enjoying my couple days off. Stuck at home with the cats. It's exciting.
With the cats, you got how many?
We got two. We have Linus and Leia, or Princess and Senior Floofy Buns, as I like to call him.
Senior Floofy Buns? Is that because of, like, extra hairy around the rear?
Oh, yeah. He is long-haired, and he is a little bit of a chubster.
And so what are the cat's favorite treats that's, like, human-wise?
Oh, well, I don't really give them human food. My roommate does. She gives Leia pasta. Linus has a hard time jumping up to get onto the chair, to get onto the table. So he normally just kind of sits on the ground and meows at everybody. And then when you try and give him food, he normally runs away because he gets scared. So
is that why he was named Linus? Because of, like, the safety blanket thing?
Actually, so we got him from Nate's mother, my boyfriend's mother. And he was in a barn. He was a barn cat. And his mom didn't know, she's like, he's not going to make it in the wild because his legs are too long and his paws are really big and he is not coordinated. And she just was like, he looks like a Linus. So,
He
just looks like a Linus.
That's
because, like, he's just like a goofy looking little cat.
Gotcha. So she must have known a Linus in her lifetime.
Yeah, I think it was from the Peanuts, but I'm not positive. Who knows?
Oh, sure. Just sitting outside waiting for the Great Pumpkin to arrive.
Yeah. Yeah. The pumpkin's food.
Nice.
That's all he cares about.
I dig it. Like, so Leia, is that like Princess Leia?
Oh yeah, Princess Leia. She is very regal. She is very opinionated, and she's a little bit of a rebel. So Princess Leia just fit really well. Plus, she's got these like brown spots that kind of curl over her ears. So I think they look like the Princess Leia buns.
That's pretty great. At what point will she become a general?
Oh, I feel like she already is because she's just in charge of the house. It is her domain.
And when do you tell her that she has a twin brother?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I want to get another cat, but Nate says two's enough because we don't need to become crazy cat people. He wants a dog, so maybe when we get the dog I can persuade him to name it Luke, and she'll be weird that it's a giant dog, but we'll see.
Well, Leia at one point was weird that Luke had the ability to, you know, move things with his mind.
That is accurate. So, but we'll see. She didn't react to Linus the best. She was, you know, a little angry the first week we got her, but we'll see how she handles once we get a dog.
And is that the plan, the getting of the dog?
Oh, yeah. We would like a dog. Probably when we get our own house, we'll get a dog.
Nice. So you're here in in Central Florida. But yes. if I was doing my research correctly, you were born and raised in the south side of Chicago.
Yes, that is accurate.
Over near Joliet.
Yes, near Joliet, yep.
So my first question, have you seen Blues Brothers?
So you're going to be mad. I have not seen Blues Brothers. However, so Blues Brothers was partly filmed in Dalton. Correct? I'm pretty sure it was filmed in part Dalton because
yes.
my entire family, like my mom's side and my dad's side, all grew up in Dalton and Riverdale. So my parents, my mom is shocked that I still have never seen it. I'm like, well, why didn't you show it to me? If you're that upset about it, you could have showed me this movie. But we used to drive down to see their old house and we would drive down the street that like the car was on that was in Dalton. So like I've seen where it was filmed. I've just never seen the movie.
And you've seen like all so we need to remedy that pretty much. We need to
yes.
Eventually we need to sit you down, have you do it, and then you can come on the podcast and tell me your initial thoughts about city life in Chicago versus actually watching the film.
Actually, yeah, I'll have to do that. Well, I mean, I got time off. I can do that in the next couple of days.
Nice. My mother-in-law grew up in Wheaton, which is
okay.
Over in
I know
that
where
area.
That is. Yeah.
She grew up near the Belushis.
Okay.
So
that's awesome.
So there's that tie-in about like Chicago in a nutshell. And every single time that we talk about Chicago, the first thing we talk about is Portillo's.
Oh, I love Portillo's. Oh my gosh! You know we're getting one, right?
Yeah.
I can't wait. And there's a truck apparently going around with Portillo's.
I don't know if like it's going around still, but it was.
It was. And one of the guys I work with is actually from Wheaton. And he was like, did you go yet to the truck? I'm like, no. I was like, I can't find it. You know, I'm not going to try and drive around all before I go to work. But he goes to the one, I think the Portillo's in Tampa.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, he goes, it tastes the exact same as the ones from Illinois. He's like, it's weird. Because, you know, sometimes you go chains and they sometimes taste different depending where you go. He's like, it tastes exactly the same.
I've been to both of the ones over in the Tampa area. I've never been to one in Chicago, but I've been to both of them in Tampa because I didn't hear about it until I started dating Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we heard about Portillo's and went on a journey out west. Mostly for Portillo's, but also to check out some of the breweries over in the Tampa area too. So it's kind of a win-win situation. I know about the history of it.
Yes. Did you love Portillo? I mean, it's hard to, everyone loves Portillo's, but did you love Portillo's?
Oh, it's great. Especially I get it with sauce on the side though. I get their basic, beef sandwich with sauce on the side.
Yeah, the last time I got the beef sandwich and the sauce was on it, like it just drenched the bottom. Like they put too much on it, and that normally doesn't happen. But that their Chicago dog, oh, so good. And I like don't like veggies on a dog, but like when I go to Portillo's, you have to eat the Chicago dog. You have to.
So I just asked Adam this on a previous podcast. So what would you put on a hot dog?
Oh, I love chili cheese dogs. So that's probably I do like Chicago dogs, but I love chili cheese dogs. So probably chili and cheese is my like go-to for a hot dog.
Yeah, I would, I don't like mustard. So if I could do chili, cheese, and onions, that'd be a great dog for me.
Yes. Like, and that's the other thing. I was never a huge mustard person, but when you eat a Chicago dog, you can't put ketchup on it. You have to eat it with mustard. So it's like, ugh. Here we go. And I don't like pickles, but I will eat it on a Chicago dog. I don't know why.
And my appreciation for onions came about recently because 2/3 of my life, if I had a hot dog, it either had just chili or just ketchup. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm a weirdo.
No, I mean, I get that. I didn't eat, like, when I was a stereotypical, like, kid growing up where, like, I only ate mac and cheese, chicken nuggets. And if it was a hot dog, it just had ketchup on it. I, like, didn't know that, like, chili and cheese was a thing or, like, pickles and... I didn't expand my horizons. And once I like became like probably junior in high school, I learned about food and I was like, what have I been doing with my life?
It's because you're not used to, or you're not given the opportunity to experiment. After a certain point, parents and relatives and whatnot decide, sure, this is what the kid likes. And so then eventually when you're on your own, you get the ability to explore with like the most random things ever. Some of them are terrible combinations. Like I don't like bratwurst. I also don't like sauerkraut and
no.
Yeah. And I don't like pickled relish.
Nope.
Basically, if it's pickled, I probably don't like it. That's what I've established. But I learned that on my own because of not having to pay money. like buffets are the best things ever.
Right. Also, I think also like when you're a kid, you just want to eat as like quickly as possible so you can get back to doing whatever you were doing. You know, so it's like mac and cheese is simple. I'll eat that and I'm good. I want to go play or I, you know, something like that. But
and anything that's new is scary.
Yes.
I mean, it still is even as adults, but especially when you're younger.
Yeah. Well, like I didn't really eat veggies and I started like I watched the Food Network. My sister went to culinary school. Like I learned I really liked cooking. So I like try and expand the horizons. I expand, you know, Nate's horizons. He now eats like green beans regularly. And I'm like, yes, look at you.
He's a no veggie type of guy, right?
He is a no veggie.
Yeah, I'm a veggies.
No. He will not eat peppers, onions. Forget about it. And onions are in basically everything. But he's like, nope. He'll pick it out of pasta sauce. I'm like, I can't with you. Eat the onion.
And then like Adam's almost the exact opposite. Well, he'll eat much everything.
He like brought food ideas over since he's crashing with us. He's like, yeah, we're going to try this. We ate chicken with like this, I think it was Coke and ketchup marinade on it. And it was weird, but I'm like, see, we try new foods. You'll like it. But no vegetables. That boy will not eat vegetables. Nate will not.
In the past episode, Adam and I talked for about 3 minutes about this Coke ketchup concoction of his.
It wasn't bad. It was different. It was different is the word I would use.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you're not used to, so it takes some getting used to. So speaking of getting used to, when you were younger, you were in high school in Southern Illinois. What sort of things were you interested in back when you were in high school?
Oh, I was a big, big nerd. I was in band. I did musical. Hey, sorry, Adam's in the room and he went, was? And I'm like, rude.
That's the pot calling the kettle, so don't worry about that.
Thank you. I was in drumline and I absolutely loved like making music. That was just so much fun. And that's where I learned I actually loved art. I did like theater growing up and I was in, you know, musicals in high school, but I started like taking art classes in high school and that's where I got my passion for it. I loved painting. I loved photography. And then that helped me decide that I wanted to go to art school for college. So art, music, theater. I played softball. That was fun too. Played softball for 15 years.
Is Northwestern a big like art school?
So I didn't go to Northwestern. I went to Northern Michigan University. And it's
over in Marquette.
Yes, in Marquette, Michigan, right on Lake Superior. They're not a huge art school. I think they were more like communications based. And we had there was a lot of science majors, but we had a smaller art department and that's what I loved about it because you had smaller classes, you had more like intimate one-on-ones with, your advisors and other students. So I learned so much going to art school. It was awesome.
My mom, briefly went up to Northern, and it was a very, very long, cold drive back in
the
70s.
Yes. It took me about 6 hours from my house, and I drove like straight up through Wisconsin. But once you hit the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, it is gorgeous. I mean, the falls there were beautiful. We would go winter camping in the snow.
That's
never
a journey.
Again. It was, yes. It was so much fun, but it was, oh, man. It was
what
a,
is
it was
winter expensive. Camping?
So we had this mountain, which was more like a glorified hill, I believe, called Sugarloaf. And my group of friends and I, we went, hey, let's go camping. So you basically camp in the snow. We trekked up, we were in snowshoes. We trekked up hammocks, tents, some firewood, like stuff for actual camping. But we camped in the middle of winter in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. So we like were sleeping on probably 4 feet of snow because it was so packed down. It was like felt like concrete. So we were, I mean, we put tents down, we built a fire, we had people slept in hammocks with like thermal blankets and stuff.
So they slept in hammocks, thermal blankets, but they were not in a tent. So they were exposed.
They were exposed. And they, so that was all they, like everyone hammocks up there. So our, two of our friends were hammocked in the tree. They had two trees and they were hammocked, like kind of stacked on top of each other, like bunk beds. And they attached these like tarps over them so it blocked the wind, so it just draped over the two blankets, and then like everyone slept in like their snow pants and stuff, and we all had thermal sleeping bags and thermal blankets, and they just slept in hammocks with a tarp draped over them to block the wind.
And so during the day, would you go skiing at this place? Or
We bought really cheap sleds that broke.
Sure.
And then our backups, which we brought because we figured they would break, was like the plastic tops to trash cans.
Okay.
So we would sled down and we put them in garbage bags so they were a little slicker. And we would just kind of sled down, climb back up the hill, sled back down. They had kind of waterfalls would freeze over a little bit, so we'd see some like frozen waterfalls. I mean, like it was absolutely beautiful. It was gorgeous. It looked like Narnia.
I just pulled up some images of the Sugarloaf ski resort. And if those of you who are listening, I recommend pausing right now, going to Google, doing the same thing, and then hitting unpause afterwards, because you're right. Some of the hills and scenery is ridiculous because it is right on Lake Superior. You can see the lake, which would make it extra cold, in my opinion.
Yes. We also went, school didn't say they sponsored this. We also went, we would like do cliff jumping. So we'd jump off what they called black rocks into Lake Superior.
No, that's where you lose me right there. I've been in Lake Superior. Oh. I don't like it.
Oh, it was, that was like homecoming weekend, like opening weekend of college. So my sophomore year, we were part of like a welcome crew. So we went a couple weeks early, prepped the dorms and stuff and made activities for everyone to do the first week they were there. Cause you're there a couple days before class actually starts. So you can get used to the campus. You can get used to the people you're living with. You can get comfortable and not feel as homesick. So you don't get there and dive right into classes. So we did a trip to Black Rocks. We're all up there and we're probably, 20, 30 feet. Like, I mean, we were higher up above the water and there was smaller parts. And then there was higher peaks on the rocks that you would just run and jump off of into the water. Hitting that water felt like hitting cement. It was so cold. It hurt so bad, but everyone kept doing it because it was just so much fun.
Yeah, I went to Lake Superior in like the beginning of summer, like end of spring, and it was still too
cold. It's still cold. It is still cold.
Yeah, you get up to your knees, and you're like, okay, I can do this. Then you get close to your waist area, and you're like, nope,
I'm out. I'm nope. Tapping out. I'm done.
You can know. Testing the water, trying to put this delicately. Once your center region reaches that spot, you either have to really go or immediately back up. There's no in between. You can't really.
Yeah, you can't linger. You can't be in limbo trying to decide back and forth. You need to make a quick decision on what you're doing.
There's no dipping your center region. You're either going forth or hightailing it out of there.
Yeah. Well, and it's like super hot up there and humid during the summer. And like people wouldn't think that, but I think my junior year, we stayed through like the summer because we did summer school, my friend and I. And I mean, a lot of places don't have AC because it's winter 8 months out of the year. And in the summer, we were just like, I mean, you're sweating because it's so hot. And you go to, you know, Lake Superior, you're on the beach, and you can't go swimming. You do. You put your ankles, you go up to your ankles, and you're like, all right, I'm refreshed. Gonna sit back down on the towel now.
You get there for like a hot second, and you're like, okay, yeah. I'm good. Thanks, guys.
I'm refreshed now. We did the polar plunge once, and I think we did it in February or March. And whoo, that was rough. That one was rough because we went all the way under. And it's, oh.
Right now, the high this week in Marquette is 45 degrees.
Yep, yep.
The low is 16.
Yep. I every once in a while, I'm like, man, I miss that place. It is gorgeous. And it's cool because it's like a college town built in like an old, small, like mining town. It's so cool. I highly suggest people go there. It's so much fun.
And if you enjoy 68 degree water temperature, yes, that sounds like a great place.
Yeah. If you enjoy, you know, just putting into your ankles or knees to get cool and not really swimming, it's the place to be, man.
It's got to be for some people's bucket list. I successfully did all five Great Lakes.
That's awesome. That's cool.
Lake Huron was easy because we would go, being from Detroit, we'd go up the thumb into like Port Huron, and it's only like an hour and a half away, and you just jump in, rock and roll, and you're there. So we would spend a lot of like weekends in the summer going in that area.
Oh, that's cool.
And then like 1 week a year, we would probably go to the western side and visit some of my mom's family, because they were from more of like the Illinois, Missouri border area.
Yeah, okay.
So they would travel north, because that was kind of the halfway point, 3 hours for each of us. And yeah. We'd go along the lakeside, closer to like Grand Haven, Lake Haven, one of those havens on the west side. And so I did that multiple times. And Erie is more of a day trip.
Okay.
Because you'd go there to like one of their parks or one of their, like they have a giant wave pool there that's just off of the lake. So it's weird. You could be on like hanging out in the wave pool area, look over and you can still see the lake.
Okay.
But also
that's pretty cool though.
Anyone who's been to Cedar Point, in Sandusky, yeah, can see Lake Erie from where they're at, because it just goes off into nowhere.
I went to Cedar Point, I think I was like 5 or 6, so I don't remember it. But we've got pictures of me on like every ride I could go on. My mom's like, don't you remember that? I'm like, nope, not even slightly, Ma.
So what we need to do is take a trip, like all of us just go north to Cedar Point for a weekend.
Could you imagine us all in like a caravan? Because we could rent one of those big white vans and we can all take turns driving.
That would be epic. Man. I'm hearing the guys in the background agree.
Yeah, they're in. What are they playing? Rocket something? Rocket League. They're playing Rocket League. And they are terrible.
I'm looking forward to hearing about it next week when we have our next podcast. So then finally, Lake Ontario is the hardest one to get to unless you're in the New York or Niagara area.
Okay.
That's the fifth one that's hard to get to, because also parts of it are a bit contaminated for some reason or another. It was not the cleanest because of all the tourism.
All right. Interesting. I didn't know that.
So, So out of the five, Erie is normally the warmest.
Hmm.
Superior is by far the coldest.
Oh yeah.
It's ridiculous and a half, but they're all pretty.
Yeah.
That the one you've probably been to the most, besides being in the college town, was
Lake Michigan.
Yep.
Oh yeah, I've swam in Lake Michigan several times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could see it. You could see Chicago from on the other side of the lake because of just how bright it is.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's crazy. Lake Michigan was cool. But I mean, obviously I'm biased. I lived there for 4.5, almost 5 years. I basically lived in the UP. Superior's still my favorite. It's just so pretty.
Well, yeah, it's the colder it is, the more colors you can see from it.
Yeah. It's so cool because they've got little like break walls and stuff kind of all over the place. And when I have photos, I'll have to send them to you at some point, but I got photos of, I went out towards the Black Rocks, and they had a break wall, and it was gated so people couldn't walk all the way out on it. Once it gets cold, and it's, you know, they don't want people to slip or fall, so they block it off so you can't go out on the break wall. But the water, the waves would come up and hit the break wall, and they would freeze up over the gate, so the gate looked like water was shooting out of it. Oh, it was so cool.
Because
it was just frozen ice. It was absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Kind of looked like Elsa when she hits her snow powers.
Or like Iceman when he does his
thing.
Or
Iceman. Yeah. It was cool.
Nice. Epic. I love it.
Yeah. It was a good time.
Well, speaking of good times, we're going to have more good times after we hear the word from our sponsor. Did you know with Rhino? We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. This episode has been brought to you by Everyday Cosplay Finds. Ever wanted to show off your favorite character or group of characters, but don't see things online that match your style? Then check out Everyday Cosplay Finds, bringing cosplay into your everyday. Go to Etsy.com/shop/EverydayCosplayFinds for more information. This episode is also brought to you by our merchandise page. Have you ever wanted to show off your love for something amazing and awesome, but didn't necessarily have the right words to say it? Well, we have those words on our merchandise. Yes, if you love this podcast, and of course you do, that's why you're listening to it, you should check out our merchandise page, where you can get all sorts of fun and awesome things, including a hat that says, "I know Rhino." Right now we've got a t-shirt that says, "Yes, this is my first rodeo," a participation trophy wife shirt, a whole bunch of buttons, and some really, really cool logos happening on the page. To check it out, go to Zazzle, Zazzle, Zazzle.com/store/DidYouKnowWithRyanO, all one word. Once again, Zazzle.com/store/DidYouKnowWithRyanO. Show your love for the podcast. And now back to our show. Did you know with Rhino? So this morning, I got woken up by some very loud noises, and these guys are paving our entire street because it's a new neighborhood.
Oh, interesting.
They didn't let us know that they were paving the entire street.
You just wake up to strange sounds outside your house.
Yeah, yesterday.
Comforting.
That was the first time, because you could hear it, because it's we're kind of in like a little canyon. There's a lot of hills, and so sound carries really well. And so from the other side of the street, like a quarter mile away, you could hear it, but more importantly, you could smell the hot asphalt as it's going through the area.
Oh.
So then they did one half of the street yesterday while I was recording a podcast, and they did the rest of the street today. but luckily they're gone by the time this one comes, so I have very little static on my end.
Well, that's good.
So I did that, and then for the first time in forever, because for the longest time living down here in Central Florida, we had someone do our yard service. Always pay okay. someone to do it. But then decided, you know, I'm a new homeowner, so I'm going to go ahead and do it myself.
I'm going to learn to do it myself.
Which I haven't done it since I was a teenager.
Oh, man.
And so I've gotten pretty good, but it's a chore. And now I understand
yeah.
why my dad paid me to do it.
Yeah. Well, that's what, when we first rented the house we're in now, last year, Nate and our roommate, Zach, were like, because they, you know, we have an HOA or whatever, and they're like, oh, grass can't be too long, got to do this. So they bought one of those old-fashioned, what is it, rotary push mowers or something?
Yikes.
Just the blades that circle.
Uh-huh.
And watching the two of them try and do it, oh, my God, I was dying. Because the grass is so thick that they couldn't get to cut it in the back.
Oh, sure, because it's St. Augustine.
Really long patches and short patches, and they got to the point where I think it was Nate who came in the one day and went, we're getting a lawn service, screw this.
Yeah.
So I applaud you for doing it yourself.
Well thank you. It became a chore, especially with malfunctioning water heads.
Oh, so yeah,
all the sprinkler system that they installed, they didn't do it properly. So I have spots of grass that look green and lush and full, and I've got patches that I'm currently staring at that are dead.
Patches I'm currently staring at that are yep. dead.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Because the Poseidon room, as I call it, is where this podcast is recorded, right in the front of the house. And I can see out our lovely view of burnt grass.
Oh, sad burnt grass. Well, wait till the summer comes. That's when they were mowing and they were sweating. You're going to be coming in like a toothpick because you sweat everything out.
Well, I used to, when we first moved over here, I used to do it after work, which getting home at 5:30, sure, no problem. You can mow the lawn and still have time for dinner before the sun sets. But now,
oh, there you go.
Now it's not really an option. Now about 7 o'clock, everything's dark and... You know, I'd be about halfway through.
Now it's kind of like, it's rough. It's rough.
Well, speaking of rough, we're going to go ahead and start navigating through some dangerous parts of the podcast.
All right, I'm ready.
We're going to start with a lovely bit that we call Rhino and the Mailbox of Doom. This is where...
Oh, God.
Yes, this is where I answer emails and try to find some hidden treasures within.
All right.
So as you probably noticed, I've asked many, many questions online over the past few days.
Yes, you have.
It's all for it's all for the podcast. And so one of the questions was, what's people's favorite sandwiches? So
okay.
Let's start with you. What's your favorite sandwich?
Oh, gosh. So my favorite sandwich is this where I went to college in the Upper Peninsula. It's basically a grilled cheese that has macaroni and cheese on it and pulled pork with barbecue sauce.
That sounds
smushed
epic.
Smushed together between two pieces of sourdough. I want it. Mac and swine, I think, is what it was called.
I think that's probably my new favorite.
My all-time favorite sandwich I've ever eaten in my entire life.
Wow. Now I'm hungry for one of those.
Hi, Senor Floofy Buns. Sorry. The kitty's here. Ugh.
Nice. So I've thought about it after reading everybody's comments, and I think that my favorite was from Hilton Head Island.
Okay.
There's a place called Poseidon's, which is primarily a seafood restaurant. There's a whole bunch of chains of these restaurants and whatnot. But the Poseidon's, they had a meatloaf filet.
Interesting. I'm intrigued.
With barbecue sauce, caramelized onions, cheese, and it was on Texas toast.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
It was pretty good all through this surge group of restaurants. So if anybody's ever in Hilton Head, I recommend finding any of the SERG group restaurants, and then they'll take care of you.
And where's Hilton Head again?
Hilton Head is in South Carolina.
My parents were there like a couple months ago with my grandparents. They went on like a vacation and they did, I think there was like moonshine distilleries over there too or something like that.
Oh, there's plenty of those over there.
Oh yeah. They went and my mom was like, you need to go. It was amazing.
It's also about 45 minutes north of Savannah.
Oh yeah. Okay. She told me it's amazing. Now that there's a sandwich there that I can eat and I would enjoy. We're going.
When we went, because we went on a little honeymoon trip all along the coast up to Hilton Head and back, we ate at all of their restaurants there, all 12 from this restaurant group. And so we've got our favorites. We've got our least favorites. It's an entire journey that we'll have to talk about on a future podcast.
Oh, yes. That sounds amazing.
But for now, let's go over what everyone else thinks is their favorite.
I'm ready.
We got a BLT.
Okay.
Which I don't like bacon or lettuce.
Not terrible. I used to just eat a B and S sandwiches. My mom called them our BS sandwiches. It would just be bacon and syrup.
Okay. That sounds like such a Chicago thing.
Right?
So
just bacon and syrup.
So we also got Cubans.
I don't think I've ever had a Cuban.
Spicy. I haven't either. Spicy Italian.
Okay.
A potato chip.
Okay. Are we like potato chip with like dip inside another potato chip on top? Because then I could see that being a sandwich, but just a potato chip.
I don't know. We'll have to
ask
Kristen when I see her next.
Oh, Kristen.
So also we got a... So from the Earl of Sandwich, which is a famous chain of restaurants, there's an open-faced turkey sandwich with mashed potato stuffing, cranberry sauce, and gravy.
Yes, I had that. They had that in November, and they had one that was ham, sweet potatoes, and jam and something else. Those were delicious.
It's their take on their Thanksgiving sandwich, which is normally around in that time of year.
So good.
So we've got tuna, grilled cheese.
All right.
Gotta love grilled cheese. Chicken salad.
Ooh, I've never been a chicken salad person.
I'm not really either. It just doesn't speak to me. The S word is very foreign to my language.
Salad is foreign to my... That's a good one, Ryan.
Thanks. We also got peanut butter and jelly.
Okay, a classic.
You can't really go wrong. So we got another one of an authentic Italian or Chicago Italian beef. With hot giardiniera peppers, whatever those are.
Oh, jardinero.
There you go.
Peppers. Yep. Classic. I'm on board. They are delicious.
For all of the Southerners, there's a chicken tenders pub sub from Publix.
I've never had that, and chicken tenders are like one of my absolute favorite foods, so I should probably get that sandwich.
Chicken tenders and buffalo sauce is ridiculous on a sandwich, and I love it.
Ooh, that sounds good.
So then we also got a turkey with pepperoni, roast beef and ham.
Okay.
Reubens.
All right.
And Nate responded with a PB&J.
Of course he did.
We got an ice cream sandwich.
Ooh, I like it thinking outside the box.
That's from one of your coworkers.
Like a savory sandwich, but a dessert sandwich.
It works.
And let me guess, if Adam put it, he definitely did the Philly cheesesteak. That had to be his favorite sandwich.
Well, it's always his favorite sandwich, but we didn't. I haven't found him yet. Let's see. We also got more Cubans. Sandwich made from pizza toppings no one wants. That's adorable. That's based on my last question that we asked. A knuckle sandwich.
That's the dad joke if I've ever heard one.
Yep. Peanut butter and banana, which I love.
Ooh, I loved peanut butter and Nutella. When Nutella became like a discovered thing and was like the greatest thing in the world, I would do peanut butter, Nutella, and banana.
Ooh, that sounds like a journey.
It was a delicious, delicious journey.
You went really quiet all of a sudden. You still there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I'm losing you. Are you still there?
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. I can hear you now.
There we go.
Okay, cool. So finally, to wrap up the sandwich talk, we got Portillo's from our fans up north. And then finally, someone said, whatever one I'm currently eating.
Ooh. All right. That works.
And so that'll conclude our conversations on Facebook.
Works for me.
So bouncing around, I've got nothing new on the Twitterverse, except okay. for I've got some new t-shirts that were just created.
Oh!
Yep. Based on our last episode, I created a new t-shirt called Ryan O's... Excuse me. It talks about hot dogs. Ryan O's Hot Dog Empori Yum.
Ooh, I like that.
It's just a little circle with Ryan O's Hot Dog Emporium with a picture of a hot dog on it.
I'm digging it. I can get on board with that shirt.
We also got new buttons that say Team Ryan O and Did You Know with Ryan O with my face on them. And then a new t-shirt called Participation Trophy Wife.
Oh my God.
Yep.
Oh, that's clever. I like that. That's really good, Ryan.
Thank you. And if people go at this exact moment, well, it might still be there by the time they get there, to zazzle.com/store/DidYouKnowWithRyanO, they might be able to get 15% off if they go and buy something from the page itself.
Ooh, that's a steal. That is a steal.
It pretty much takes care of, like, shipping.
I mean, that works. That's still a steal. Any money you can save is a steal.
That's right. And
in my opinion.
And so that'll conclude our email information. So that will jump us over into our word of the week. So this is normally right. where I find a word, and I'm going to tell you what it is. I'd like you to guess what it means and where the word origin comes from.
Oh my. All right. Let's do this.
Ugh. Okay, the word is veridity.
Veridity?
Uh-huh.
Oh my God. Veridity. I really have all I can think of is a verb. Is it like another word for a verb?
not quite. It is the quality or state of being green.
The quality or state of being green.
A.K.A. the color of grass or foliage.
Interesting.
So, now that you know what it means, where do you think the word derives from? Like, what do you think its origin is?
Ooh. Like, what country it could be from? Is that
sure.
what you mean?
That's exactly what I mean. Like, what language?
Spanish?
You're very close. It is Latin.
Ah.
It comes from veriditas, meaning greenness.
Huh.
Yep.
Look at me. I'm educational, Ryan.
Oh, yes.
Educational.
Oh, it shows. So I guess we got to talk about, the hardest part now is to use veridity in a sentence.
Oh, man.
I got one. From where I'm okay. currently sitting, I see a lack of veridity with my lawn.
Oh, because you got dead grass.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Thanks. What about you? Any veridity usage?
Let's see. From where I'm sitting, there's a Gatorade in front of me that has a very bright veridity to it.
Excellent. I like it. I'll allow it.
Nate goes, your wallet lacks veridity. Also accurate.
Don't we all? So that will conclude our word of the week, which normally puts us into our science fact of the week.
All right, science fact.
What do you know about salamanders?
Oh, salamanders. Are those like the little lizard thingies?
They
have legs, right?
They do. They're not the ones that are very common in our area, but they do have legs. They're little lizard thingies.
Right. Aren't they like super slimy?
Yes.
They're not really dry. They're like, you know, some lizards like look like they have really dry skin, aren't they? Like really slimy.
They, from this photo, they look extremely slimy.
Ew. Yeah, I've never been like one for the slimy. What is it? Amphibians? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Or lizards? Yeah.
I'm gonna go with amphibians or lizards. Either one. One's a frog. One's not.
All right.
Let's find out. I've got Google in front of me.
I mean, I'm like, so do I. Let's see what I can
Salamander.
Find.
Salamander.
If I could spell. That's the other thing. Mom can't spell for words.
Let's see what we got here. A salamander from good old Wikipedia, which is from a group of amphibians that are lizard-like.
Oh, they're so cute. They got big old eyes.
Big old fancy eyes, and they're all slippery and whatnot.
Yeah. Oh, they're so cute.
So based on that knowledge of a salamander, our trivia question of the week pertaining to it, how long do you think its tongue can extend to?
Ooh. A foot? I don't know if it's got a retractable tongue, but I'm going to go with a foot.
It depends on its size. It's more than half of its body length.
Oh.
And it can do so in 7 milliseconds.
Holy crap. Okay.
Which is 50 times faster than you can blink an eye.
That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, that's how far it can go. Like, which is probably why it's an amphibian that can probably eat bugs and whatnot.
Makes sense. That makes sense. They're just so cute. I mean, I don't want one, but they're cute.
Oh, sure. So you want to stick with cats and maybe a dog, but no
yes.
salamanders.
No salamanders. I always wanted a snake for some reason. I thought they were so cool and they can shed their skin. But Nate put a kibosh on a snake.
Yeah, because what if it gets out?
I know. Then it's going to eat my cat.
Yep. And then it's going to be stuck in your attic for a long time, reproduce, and you don't know what's going on.
That's accurate.
We've talked about that in a previous episode of Did You Know with Ryan O, where someone found a 24-foot-long boa in their attic?
Yes, I've heard about that, which is just crazy. Did you see the video of one falling out of the ceiling?
Yes, hashtag Florida problems.
Yes. Oh, man. Yeah. Good times. It's a good time.
And according to the opening of this podcast, which I always record later, the hashtag key is called an octotroph.
Ooh, I feel like I've heard that before.
The little like pound symbol.
Yeah, the little pound symbol.
Yep, octotroph.
Hmm.
Probably because it's a square that has 8 things coming from it.
Oh, there you go.
Octotroph.
I like it. I like it.
So then our final random fact. Actually, got 2 more random facts of the episode.
Okay.
During your lifetime, we all produce saliva. So during your lifetime, how much saliva do you think you produce?
Oh, my. In my lifetime?
Or we can break it down to each day, whatever you'd like.
Oh, man. It's got to be like, in your lifetime, it's got to be like gallons and gallons and gallons of saliva. It mm-hmm. just has to be. Oh, let's see. What do I want? I'm going to go for your lifetime. I feel like that's a bigger number that I can pick from. And maybe, I mean, some people, they get a lot of saliva. So maybe like.
So you could either do it in liters or you could describe it as an object.
As an object. You could probably. I feel like this is extravagant, but you could probably fill maybe like half of a water tower with your saliva in your lifetime.
It depends on the size of the water tower.
That's accurate too.
Yep, because it's enough to fill 2 swimming pools, 51 liters of saliva over 70 years.
Wow! Oh my gosh!
Because we produce 1 to 2 liters a day.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just crazy.
And it's it's constantly getting recycled and recycled and recycled, but you can still produce it and have a good old time.
That's true. That is true.
So then our other weird fact of the episode, before we dive into some random trivia, how much do you know about Frisbees?
How much? Not much. I'm not very good at them.
So if you could guess, what time, about what year in the 20th century were Frisbees created?
Ooh. Oh. The 30s?
You're close. It's actually in the 40s. It was originally called the Pluto Platter.
The Pluto Platter?
Yes. Huh. It was created by a Walter Frederick Morrison.
Okay.
He died at the age of 90, and his family cremated him and turned his ashes into a Frisbee.
No!
Yes.
Oh my gosh. That is awesome. That's amazing.
It's ridiculous, and I love it.
We're going to turn you in to the thing you invented.
Well, that's
a Frisbee.
That's the ultimate irony.
Who wants to go play with Grandpa? Who wants to go play with Grandpa out back?
Well, I bet it's one of those Frisbees that you put in on your mantle.
Oh, man.
You put behind glass and no one's allowed to touch it.
I still think it'd be fun to just I could just imagine the kid going up. Their parents aren't home. I want to play with Grandpa. Go to the man. Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
And then Grandpa ends up on the roof.
And Grandpa ends up on the roof stuck, and then it rains. Oh. Poor Grandpa.
So then someone's got to fetch Grandpa off the roof after they get done from work. Got to get a ladder, walk on over, jump on there.
He's stuck in a tree. You got to call the fire department. My grandpa's stuck in a tree. Fire department comes. It's a Frisbee. Yeah, it's Grandpa.
Mm-hmm. Well, even more awkward, next door, there's a cat on top of their tree. So they don't know which house to go to. Is it that the Frisbee's Grandpa or that they called their cat a Grandpa?
That's awesome.
Either one sounds ridiculous. That's going to be a t-shirt idea. I'm going to do a Frisbee. I'm going to put Grandpa ? On it.
That's awesome.
Yep. So by the time this episode comes out, it'll be a tank top.
And I will buy it. That is fantastic. And people will be like so confused. I'll be like, oh, you don't understand. That's awesome. That's a good one.
It's ridiculous and a half, just like most things in this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So to round things out, to kind of come full circle, I have found a whole bunch of Chicago facts.
Oh, no. Okay.
Oh, yes. And I'm going to shoot them at you rather quickly. And I want to see, you're either going to sink or swim in the Michigan lake.
I already know what's going to happen. I'm going to sink, but let's do it. I'm ready.
All right. So starting off, Chicago is fairly large. How many times larger than Walt Disney World would you say it is?
Three times larger.
Let's see, it is 4.5 times larger. So you are very close.
I'm close. Close.
Chicago has approximately 7.2 million residents. On a ranking, it is in the top five of the largest cities. What number in that ranking would you say it is in the United States?
I think we're number four.
It's a tiny bit better. It's number three right now.
All right. So just little holes in my boat at the moment.
That's fine. We're still doing good. can you name two of its five nicknames?
The Windy City.
That's one.
Windy City, and all I can think is crime capital of the world. I know that's not it.
That's not official. So we also got the City of Big Shoulders.
Okay.
The second city.
Hmm.
The White City and the City That Works.
Okay, I've heard the City That Works, but I haven't heard the White City. That's interesting. The
second city is rather popular for, like, it used to be like New York and then Chicago. That's kind of how It became the second city. And it became rather popular as a term for a lot of the groups. For like Saturday Night Live and Mad TV, there was a second city group.
Oh, yeah, I should know that.
So the downtown area.
Okay.
Which is where the L train goes through is known as what? What is what is that area that the L train surrounds called?
Oh God, I'm such a bad Chicagoan. I don't know.
All right, bonus one. The L train is part of what transportation group?
The Metra.
We would also accept the CTA.
Oh, CTA, yeah.
The Chicago Transit Authority. Yeah. And that downtown area is the Loop.
That's what, I've been away too long. That's what I'm learning.
It was also the largest railroad capital, and there was 1.6 million rides that are taken every weekday on the CTA.
I'm not surprised. Not surprised at all.
Do you, so the name Chicago was first recorded in 1688, where it appears as C-H-I-G-A-G-O-U, Chicago, which is an Algonquian word meaning what? What do you think that native word means?
Ooh, pizza lover?
I wish. So let's think about like 1688. There's not really anything there except for maybe something, some sort of objects.
Whoa, geez. Well, the lake's there. Can't think of anything. All I can think of is the lake's there. I don't know what else was there.
So the other thing that was there were onions. That word means onion field.
I did not know that. Well, we have the satirical thing called the onion in Chicago, so there we go.
Yep. which is probably
our satirical newspaper called the Onion. Yeah.
And then finally, our last Chicago trivia question: where is your favorite place to visit whenever you go to Chicago?
Ooh, my favorite place to visit when I go to Chicago is probably the History Museum and the Shed, because they're like right next to each other.
What's the Shed?
The Shed Aquarium.
Okay.
So
that's where the penguins are running amok right now.
Yes, that's where they let the penguins roam. I was like, oh, so cute. I loved going to the Shed. The Shed is awesome. And one of my favorite places to eat. So we always go in December and we go to the Kringle Mart. So they have like a German market in Chicago. And we always go in December, my mom, my sister, and I. And that is also one of my favorite places to go when I go to Chicago. Because I don't go down all the time. So if I go down when it's not Christmas time, the Shed. When it's around Christmas time, Kris Kringle Mart, hands down.
Gotcha. So if I were to dress up in, let's say, 20 years with a bright red suit, would I fit into Kringle Mart?
I mean, you could, but most of the time people are just, we're a very maybe monochromatic group in Chicago. Everyone's just in like black winter coats.
Yeah, a lot of North Faces going on around there.
Yes. Lots of North Faces and Columbias. Lots of North Faces and Columbias.
And then those who can with their fancy like gray trench coats or black overcoats and whatnot.
With the scarves tucked in and everything, yeah.
Because you got to be fashionable as well as warm at the same time.
Yes, yes. Which most is definitely.
Ridiculous and a half.
So
going from a overview of the podcast, we talked about cats, a lot of Chicago. We talked about Portillo. So we talked about sandwiches. We even talked about Sugarloaf.
Sugarloaf, yeah.
We talked about random words, salamanders, saliva, frisbees. So what do you think our question of the week should be?
Your question of the week should be... Please don't eat the... Hold on. Sorry. The cat's eating the... The question of the week should be... I would think, if you could visit any of the five Great Lakes, which one would it be, and what would you do?
All right. You heard it here, folks. If you could visit any of the five Great Lakes, what would it be, and what would you do there? Excellent. So if you want to answer that question, you can do so on Facebook, Did You Know with Ryan O. You could email me, didyouknowryano@gmail.com, or there's Twitter, @didyouknowryano. We also got our fancy merchandise page, zazzle.com/store/didyouknowryano. Sam, thank you very much for joining us on this epic journey.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. It was a good time. I learned a lot, you know. Make your grandfather a Frisbee when he passes away.
That's the only way to honor him.
It's the only way to honor him.
Well, I look forward to having you here on a future episode.
I would be happy to do it. Let me know when.
Will do. And for those of you out there, we always leave you with our fancy words of wisdom, which is find your awesome, hold on to it, and share it with the world. I've been Ryan O, and we'll see you next time.
Bye. Did you know it, Ryan O? Did